Welcome back inside the studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles Nightly, joined in the studio by Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. And Ian, you and Albert Breer had a little bit of breaking news today regarding the Ravens' offensive line situation. Why don't you take us through what went on there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we spent so much time last week focusing on Brian McKinney and his text messages and talking with the team about, you know, they wanted to restructure his contract and reduce his salary and all that. And it kind of didn't make sense. Well, it makes sense a little more today. The Ravens are going with Michael Orr at left tackle. So, yes, the guy from the blind side is going to be protecting Joe Flacco's blind side, which I'm sure the movie producers and Michael Lewis are pretty happy about that. And so Brian McKinney becomes a backup. And it's interesting because, you know, besides Orr being able to perform better, which is the reason they made the move, it also kind of goes with what the Ravens are doing on offense. You know, they're fast-paced, they're no huddle. It's just easier for them to get up and down the field, and I think it works better.
So Orr had been at right tackle. Who takes over at right tackle then?
Oh, man, you're going to make me say his name now. They call him KO.
All right.
I'm not going to butcher his name.
The rookie out of Iowa State, right?
Yes, a big surprise. And I think one thing, so he's playing right tackle, and they really like that offensive line. They lost Grubbs too. And still, you know, it really was pretty strong. And one thing you do when you go fast like that, and you just keep hammering and keep hammering at a team, it kind of hurts a team's pass rush and gets them tired. You really can't substitute. And I think that's one reason why this Ravens offensive line looked really good, and I think they'll continue to.
And they did make a hard run at Evan Mathis in the offseason, who stayed here, obviously. But when you talk about that offensive line wearing down defensive lines, the Eagles' defensive line, of course, known for that rotation. They go nine deep.
Right.
Do you think this no-huddle is going to keep them from rotating as they would like to?
The quick answer is it should. You know, if the Ravens on first down, you know, they gain 5 yards, second down 3 yards, and they're going and they're moving the chains, then I think they're going to keep going fast. You know, as Flacco told me yesterday, as they get going, he wants to go faster and faster because it's working and working. But the problem is, you know, the Eagles really can create some negative plays. And if it's second and 12 and third and 10, all of a sudden you don't want to go as fast. You know, things get a little more complicated. And then all of a sudden you're huddling up, and then I think the Eagles will be able to substitute. So how they play on first down, whether the Ravens can move the chains or not, will go a long way in determining how much they can substitute and how much they can go after Flacco.
And with the rookie at right tackle, it's actually going to be, I think, the second week in a row where Jason Babin lines up against a rookie. So hopefully
he's probably pretty upset about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, the Eagles' defense last week, so impressive. But it was against the Browns. We take that with a bit of a grain of salt. What's your impression of what kind of respect the Eagles' defense is getting around the league after 1 week?
Well, I think people take notice. You know, it was against the Browns, and, I mean, it's obvious they're not exactly an offensive juggernaut. But they were on the field. They did look better. You know, fewer mistakes. Brandon Whedon's 5-point-whatever, I was going to say ERA, his 5-point-whatever passer rating didn't come by accident. So I think people are starting to notice, you know, the choice of Juan Castillo. I don't know if you know this, but it got a lot of publicity. And it's possible it's really coming together. I mean, it's starting to look better. And, you know, this is about as big a test as you could have. One, because the Ravens have weapons. You know, they got a guy in Ray Rice who can run downhill. They got guys who can go deep. So you're challenged in a lot of areas. But they come out of this week looking solid. I think everyone will take notice.
And then flipping sides of the ball, Michael Vick coming off a disappointing performance in week one, fair to say, although he did lead that game-winning drive. And as offensive coordinator Marty Morningwick said today, that's really all that matters. What is your impression of Vick moving forward and your outside opinion of the state of this offense?
Well, it's complex because I totally buy the thought that Vick is rusty. You know, he really didn't play in the preseason. As much as everybody hates the preseason, it is there for a reason. I remember talking to Chris Johnson, running backs are different from quarterbacks, but he was saying it took him a full, not full four games, but his allotment in 4 games the preseason to get into game shape. And I imagine for Vick, for his athleticism, for his eyes, it takes him a while too. The problem is, you know, it really looked so bad, and some of the decisions were so mind-numbing. You know, but one thing that's great about Vick, and why, you know, I wasn't sure at the beginning, but he's really a perfect fit here, and that he handles the noise so well. He's dealt with criticism forever. He seems to not care, which is exactly how you got to do with it. And he takes responsibility too, which I think everyone notices. So, you know, I think this is a time where he'll really bounce back. And even if they don't win, I think he'll look a lot better.
And the other thing that I would add to that, and Marty Mornemeek talked about this too, he also never loses confidence. He's always believing that he's the guy who can get the job done, right?
Oh, yeah, and that's really what's great about him. And he keeps adding to that. And I guess if you're, you know, sort of superhuman-ish, you can do things to where you say, man, I'm pretty good. You know, and so as bad as he was and as you know, the mind-numbing mistakes that make you want to claw your eyeballs out, he still is the guy who comes down and lead him for a game-winning drive. So, you know, all that confidence, there's a reason for it. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think he'll have another game like he had.
We certainly hope not.
But I would say I probably doubt it.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask you, I like to ask some of the national guys when they come through, having been around different places in the league, how does just the Eagles complex, the way things are run here, how does that compare, you think?
I think it holds up pretty favorably. You know, it's a nice setting. It's relaxed in that, you know, and that's kind of what I like about it. The weight room is gorgeous. I mean, I just walked by, you know, I remember walking through the Patriots weight room last year, and it's like a prison, basically. There's nothing on the walls. This is a nice place. It's big. It's got all sorts of things, like this pretty cool studio. But it's also, you know, the atmosphere, I think it really takes after head coach too. I mean, Andy Reid is kind of like, you know, all right. And that's kind of the way this thing is. Just relaxed and pretty cool and pretty big.
There you go. All right. Nice. All right. Thanks so much to Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. Back with more on the other side here on Eagles Nightly.